Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Glad you're with us today in the huddle on ESPN Upstates. Greg McKinney and Lonzo will keep you company here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. You can call us at 844-477-3776. You can get us on the Health Air text line 71307. Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Just moments ago, Hurricane Michael coming ashore on the Gulf Coast, the panhandle of Florida, just to the east of Panama City Beach, with 155-mile-per-hour top winds. That is the top edge of Category 4, just below Cat 5. Just below Cat 5. So we'll watch that and see if the wind speeds go down now that it's coming ashore. Of course, not getting any real accurate reports of what's happening damage-wise as it's just now coming ashore. But it's serious, watching the Weather Channel coverage and watching these guys stand out in it and get blown around over the past few minutes. Obviously, stronger winds than Florence a couple of weeks back that hit the Atlantic coast. So pretty serious deal here, and it's going to affect some things. Certainly sports-wise, probably have an impact on anything that's scheduled up through the area where it's coming in inland over the next day or so. But again, moving pretty quickly, so should get out of the way before the weekend, and it's just going to depend on what it leaves behind as to whether sporting events will be taking place, which, of course, is not the big concern when you have a hurricane. Hopefully, everybody is staying safe down there and that most everybody got out of Dodge before the thing came in. It cropped up so fast, moved so quickly, that there was less time to kind of get the word out and get people gone. And that's a concern. But anyway, keep an eye on that one for you as Michael comes ashore this afternoon in Florida. The Boston Red Sox wrapped it up with the New York Yankees last night. It looked like it wouldn't be very dramatic, and it turned out to be somewhat dramatic last night. As you went to the bottom of the ninth inning at Yankee Stadium, the Red Sox had a 4-1 lead, and they had Craig Kimbrell on the mound, three outs away from sending them to their first American League Championship Series since 2013. They had to hang on to win 4-3. In Game 4 of the Division Series. There was nearly a walk-off grand slam by Gary Sanchez. And then they had to review the final play of the game, a ground out. And the review stood, held up that it was the third out, and that was that. The Red Sox get the 4-3 win, and they move on to the ALCS. Mookie Betts, one of the heroes of the season, certainly for the Red Sox, might be the MVP for the American League when that vote comes out. Played here in Greenville just a few years ago for the drive. Mookie Betts after the Red Sox clinched it last night.
And we're joined now by Mookie Betts, star outfielder of the Red Sox. He's out of the clubhouse. He's got the goggles off. He's got a microphone. Mookie, you look good considering you survived a CPR ninth. What was the view from out in right field as you watched that develop?
I was nervous, man. I was nervous, but you know, we got Kimbrel on the mound, the best of the best, and he'll find a way to get it done, and he did.
How does that nervousness build, right? Because you've seen him, and he finishes a lot of games for you, but now we got a walk and a hit, a pitch. I mean, just all kinds of things. Tell us how that ratchets up the anxiety.
I can't even describe it. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's kind of in your gut. You're just like, oh no. I mean. But then you're on the flip side, you have to believe, you know. I think we have to believe in each other and trust each other and know that we're going to get it done, and he did it.
All right, you had that belief. You split at Fenway. You go to New York, and you guys are 1-1. What was the attitude as you rolled into Yankee Stadium knowing that you had lost home field?
I mean, you just got to win one game at a time. You know, no matter where we're playing, you have to go and play 27 outs and win the game. And, you know, I think we did. We just blocked out that we were in New York and just kind of focused on one pitch at a time and got the job done.
Yeah, I heard one of your teammates say, we blocked this out. I know it's the Yankees, but we treat it like any other team. How on earth do you do that? Because you know it's Yankees Red Sox.
I mean, it's still, you know, I think it's just one of those things. I think we're so used to it. You know, we played them all year. I mean, they were our last series, and it's just one of those things where I think we're just used to Yankees Red Sox, and we just push all that aside and just go and forget whoever we're playing against. You just play 27 outs and win the game.
All right, I want to talk to your manager, Alex Cora, because here's a guy that Brock Holt hits for the cycle, and he decides, nope, we're going to go back to Kinsler. he decides he's going to have Christian Vasquez catch Porcello for the first. This guy's a witch. How does he do these things?
It's just one of those things where he trusts our guys, you know. We trust him. He trusts us. And, you know, he puts us in the best spot to succeed, and he hasn't steered us wrong yet. And I think there's no reason to question what he does now.
Very good. How are you going to succeed against the Astros? Because we got a little payback for last year's ALDS coming.
It's going to be tough. You know, they got a great team, but we do too. And I think it's just one of those things. It's going to be a battle. We got 7 games to get it done.
Where's the key to the series as you see it?
I think it's just going to have to be, you know, obviously the arms. I mean, both teams can hit. I mean, as you saw them, they put up 13, 14 runs, and we put up, you know, 16 runs. So it's just one of those things where we'll see how the arms go. We have to play small ball. Have to play D. I think it's just every aspect. And I think if you show some blemishes in one aspect, you'll be exploited, and, you know, they'll find a way to win the game.
Mookie Betts, we appreciate you stepping outside, taking some time with us. Good luck when you see the Astros in the championship series, and put those goggles back on. There's probably another bottle of champagne that needs your work. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, they were they're playing New York in the locker room, the Red Sox. This is kind of cool because earlier the Yankees had been playing that song. That's what they play all the time, the Yankees do. So the Red Sox co-opted their song after closing them out last night up next for the Red Sox.
That's pretty messed up.
I like it. That's fun, man.
I don't have a problem with it. It's just kind of messed up.
And they had to have goggles on because champagne flying everywhere. I guess those corks can be dangerous when they're popping out of the champagne bottles. And
so it has nothing to do with the champagne? I don't know.
Maybe the champagne too, but I would think the cork would be the biggest thing. As you pop those things, you want some pretty strong safety goggles on because those things can cause some damage. But anyway, big celebration for the Red Sox. I think Red Sox and Astros will be a good series. And that will be getting underway as we head toward the weekend and we move on. We get the Dodgers and the Brewers in the National League. So we have our Final Four and Major League Baseball ready to go with that. Another big storyline in this Yankees-Red Sox series was the umpiring of Angel Hernandez. Did you hear about this? He was behind the plate last night, but he had already gotten everybody's attention when he was umpiring at first base in Game 3 on Monday night. He had 4 plays reviewed, 3 of them overturned in the game. And so when he goes behind the plate last night, it was kind of a ramped up expectation of trouble. And CC Sabathia, who started for the Yankees in the 4-3 loss to the Red Sox, he complained about the calls after the game. That was probably to be expected. He said the veteran umpire was terrible behind the plate. Absolutely terrible, said Sabathia. He said he was terrible at first place. He was terrible behind the plate. It's amazing how he gets jobs umpiring in these playoff games. The starter for the Red Sox, Rick Porcello, was having none of that when he was told about CC's complaints after the Red Sox had closed it out. Here's what Porcello said about it.
Throw the ball over the plate, CC. I thought Angel Hernandez called a good game. You got to put the ball over the white part of the plate, and then you get strikes called. So that's all I got to say about that.
Throw the ball over the plate. A lot of music going on there in that locker room, so it was a little bit hard to hear. You know, one of the issues on this deal is that Hernandez is embroiled in a racial discrimination lawsuit against Major League Baseball. So that's what makes this even a more interesting story. He's Cuban-born. He says that he has been passed over for promotions to be crew chief and for postseason assignments. Last week, a federal judge ruled in favor of Major League Baseball to move that case to New York instead of Southern Ohio. That's where Hernandez's lawyer filed the suit. Since Hernandez filed the suit, it's been over a year. It was in 2017 when he filed the suit. Since then, Major League Baseball has selected him for the All-Star Game and postseason duty in 2017 and now in 2018. Coincidence? Coincidence that he's getting the plum assignments now that he's sued?
So he's getting what he wanted, but he's continuing with the lawsuit.
He hasn't dropped it.
You're kind of losing footing, though. I mean, the more he gets assigned, right?
Well, he makes calls that are questionable. Now, last night, there was a study about the calls, balls, and strikes behind the ESPN stats and information took a look at it. There was only one real questionable strike call last night. And there was also one on the other side for Porcello for the Red Sox. So it was pretty even last night, at least if you take an honest look at it. I know that CC Sabathia didn't think that. But that's the way it was. It wasn't a real controversial bunch of bad calls behind the plate last night. But there have been some bad calls. Obviously, those first base calls, four of them reviewed, three of them overturned. That's a bad day. That's really unusual to see anything like that.
As far as behind the plate, I wonder what the average is as far as mistakes go, because that doesn't seem like that.
Bad. There was one each. No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It was not an unusual night last night behind the plate. It was unusual, though, on Monday night at first base. And you know what Hernandez was saying was that he was passed over for the good assignments over the years because he had a feud with Joe Torre. Joe Torre is the chief baseball officer for Major League Baseball, and a lot of people, old-timers like me, remember him playing for the Braves and managing the Braves back in the day. So he's had a feud, ongoing feud with him, and he thinks that's hurt him to get these good assignments. But in the last 2 years, he's gotten them. And maybe he didn't deserve them, but he got them anyway. So that's just an interesting little sidelight from that series with Boston and New York. But the Red Sox close it out by hanging on and getting that final out last night against the Yankees. And on we go. So we're ready now for the Red Sox to advance and take on Houston. The Los Angeles Dodgers will play Milwaukee. Game one of that series is Friday night at 8:09. That will open in Milwaukee, and we'll move forward toward wrapping up this Major League Baseball season. There were four good teams, though, in the postseason remaining, and we'll get a couple of good series here, hopefully. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. Be right back. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Stay with us. Welcome back. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. 844-477-3776. Text line, 71307. College basketball season is fast approaching. I know we're in the middle of football here and baseball down to four teams, so it's hard for the average fan probably to start thinking about college basketball. I know there are college basketball fans out there already talking about it, but Andy Katz writes for NCAA.com, and he has put out today a preseason Power 36 college basketball ranking. The top 36 teams going into the season. The AP poll, top 25, will come out still. It's still a few weeks away. You get Duke and Kentucky kind of kicking off the season with the Champions Classic matchup in Indianapolis. That's on November 6th, so about 3 weeks away before we get to that. And then everybody will really be talking about it. But here's what Andy Katz says about the top teams going into this basketball season. I thought it was interesting to see where he has the Clemson Tigers, because they've been getting a lot of respect coming off of last year for Brad Brownell and his squad. Kentucky, of course, at number one. Number one, Kentucky. Andy Katz says that John Calipari has one of his deeper teams since he took over, with returning experience with P.J. Washington, Nick Richards, and the like. They have a Stanford transfer, Reed Travis. They have a stud freshman class. Doesn't Kentucky always have a stud freshman class? Keldon Johnson coming in. So one of the top teams certainly will be Kentucky, and Andy Katz has them at number one. He has Kansas at two. Says the Jayhawks are loaded, but one thing they don't have is veteran leadership from guards like they've had in past years with Devontae Graham and Frank Mason. But they certainly have a ton of talent coming in. Dedrick, K.J. Lawson came over from Memphis. They have Cal transfer Charlie Moore. Quentin Grimes is a newcomer. And they'll all be potential stars for the Kansas Jayhawks this year. Has them at number two. Has the Zags, Gonzaga, at number three. A lot of experience coming back for the Zags. Josh Perkins, veteran point guard, and some shooters like Zach Norvell. So they are going to be very good this year, the Zags. At number four, you're kind of surprised they're not a little higher. The Duke Blue Devils. Blue Devils, Zion Williamson out of Spartanburg, R.J. Barrett, another one of the top freshmen in the country. They have Trey Jones and Cam Reddish coming in, good players as well. And, of course, they still have Coach K. So Duke at number four.
That is weird. I mean, with this highly lauded class coming in, that they wouldn't be higher than that.
Yeah, I would have expected Duke to be top three. They're right outside that at number four, and this is just one guy's list, obviously. And then another ACC team in North Carolina checking in at number five. Not a lot of love for North Carolina as a title contender, but they have Cam Johnson. They have Luke May, Kenny Williams, a lot of experienced, and Nassir Little, a freshman coming in, is a big-time player. So North Carolina certainly won't be out of the mix this year. Running through the rest of the top teams, according to Andy Katz, Virginia at six. Remember, they lost to UMBC in the first round of the playoffs last year, of the tournament last year. But they have Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, and others coming back for Virginia. Tennessee, Rick Barnes, at number seven this year. They still have Admiral Schofield. They have Grant Williams. And the ball is going to be one of the better teams, certainly, in the SEC after Kentucky. And got them at number seven on the list here. Nevada. How about that? Nevada at number eight. The Wolfpack, best team in school history coming in this year. Caleb and Cody Martin. Jordan Caroline. They have a newcomer, Jordan Brown, who should help inside. And this is a team good enough to make it to the Final Four, Nevada. So that will be one of the Cinderella stories, I guess, of the year. I don't know if you really should call them Cinderella, as good as they are coming in. Auburn coming in this poll at number nine. Kansas State at number 10. So do you think Clemson would be in the second 10 in the top 20 of this list? Here you go. From Andy Katz. Number 11, Michigan State. Number 12, Syracuse. Jim Boeheim. Number 13, Villanova. Man, I wouldn't be surprised to see Villanova finished better than that, but got him at 13. Florida State, the Seminoles, Leonard Hamilton at number 14. They have a lot coming back as well. West Virginia at 15, so no Clemson yet. Nebraska at 16. Nebraska. James Palmer Jr., Isaac Copeland Jr. coming back. Purdue out of the Big Ten at number 17. Washington at 18. Marquette at 19, and rounding out the top 20 from Andy Katz, the Bruins of UCLA. At 21, it's Indiana. 22, Loyola Chicago. 23, UCF, the Knights. Maybe they could be national champions in basketball and football. Michigan at 24. Mississippi State at 25. So the Tigers do not make the top 25 in this list from NCAA.com, but they do check in at 26. Here's what Andy Katz says about the Tigers at number 26. The Tigers are on the doorstep of my preseason poll. Marquise Reed and Shelton Mitchell give the Tigers one of the more experienced backcourts on the East Coast. They got Zion Williamson, they'd be higher than 26. Guarantee you that. Virginia Tech, another ACC team at 27. Oregon at 28. Cincinnati, 29. Wisconsin at 30. He goes to 36 teams here, so finishing it out. 31, Minnesota. 32, TCU. At number 33, it's Butler. 34, Davidson, out of the Charlotte area. They have Kellen Grady. Should be the best player in the A-10, they say, the Atlantic 10. Wildcats earned a bid last season, beating Rhode Island in that title game. And they should be as good or better this year. Buffalo at 35, and at number 36, Providence. So that's the top 36 for Andy Katz of NCAA.com. His preseason power 36 has Clemson just outside the top 25 at number 26 in these rankings. Kind of interesting there. Back to football quickly. Saw this poll. How many games must Jason Garrett win with the Cowboys to keep his job this year? How many games? Go ahead.
I was going to say the rest of them.
The rest of them. That's a little optimistic. While you think about that, here's what Stephen A. Smith is saying. He's calling for Jason Garrett to be fired, and he says it's not because of the punt on fourth down in that game with the Texans. Here's Stephen A.
Jason Garrett should not be fired because of that one decision. Jason Garrett should be fired because he never should have been a head coach in the first place. As far as I'm concerned, he was considered a golden boy as an offensive coordinator. He was getting paid the same amount as the head coach, Wade Phillips, at the time. If you remember, he's been the coach for the Dallas Cowboys for 9 years. He's been to 2 playoff appearances. He's won 1 playoff game, and they call us America's team. Last time I checked, that absence of production usually would get you out of a job outside of the city of Cincinnati, who still inexplicably employs Marvin Lewis.
Shot at Marvin Lewis on the way out the door there. So basically, Stephen A. says, no, go ahead and fire Jason Garrett. Don't worry about how many wins that he gets this season. But this poll from Blogging the Boys, bloggingthecowboys.com, has a lot of choices here on how many games he'd have to win to save his job. 28% of those, the far and away number one answer, said there's no way this team wins 8 games with Jason Garrett, so that means he's done. They won't get to 8, so he's done. 10% said he has to win 8 so that he doesn't have a losing season, that 8-8 would save his job. I don't believe that. I don't believe 8-8 is going to save Jason Garrett's job. 15% said 9 wins. Sadly, a winning season could be enough. 8% of those polled say it takes double-digit wins. 10 wins. That would just be the third double-digit win season in his 9 years in Dallas, if he got to that. 14% say, well, don't worry about the total wins. He has to make the playoffs. 14%.
You know, the fact that Jerry Jones is starting to air his displeasure through the media about play calling and things, he's done. He'll go to the end of the season probably, but he's going to finally get rid of him. Everyone's been calling for that anyway, and Jerry Jones doesn't care. But when he starts saying that he's unhappy with things, he's definitely gone.
Well, Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones, though, so I don't know. I know what you're saying, but, I mean, Jerry Jones is going to talk. He's going to say whatever is on his pea-headed brain.
I just don't recall him pretty much dogging his coach in the media.
It might be true. 15% say that Jason Garrett has to get 1 playoff win. He only has 1 in 9 seasons. So he has to get another one. And that could be enough for him to keep his job. And 10%, 1 out of 10 in this poll, say he has to get the Super Bowl. Doesn't have to win it, but has to get there. I guess what's not going to happen.
Definitely not going to happen.
Yeah. So most people are saying, it's a done deal. Done deal because they won't get to 50-50. They won't get to 500 season. They won't win 8 games. And that means that Jason Garrett will be done at the end of this season for the Dallas Cowboys. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Go ahead and talk to Jimmy before we go to the break here. Jimmy, welcome into the huddle. How are you?
Good. How are y'all today?
We're good, Jimmy. What's up?
How about those Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield guys? They could very easily have 3 wins right now if they hadn't had that meltdown against the Raiders.
Yeah, true that. I'm impressed with what I've seen so far.
Yeah, you remember I was saying at least 8 games this year. I think it could happen. Baker Mayfield's continued to look good.
Yeah, I like Baker Mayfield for that team. I like the draft choice. He's playing well, but they're doing some other things well as well. So they're 2-2-1 right now. So I'm just looking at what they have coming up, what their winnable games are going to be in the near future here for Cleveland. They have the Chargers this week.
That's probably a win.
They could win that one. They get them at home, too. Then they go to Tampa Bay. Yeah, not that difficult. They go to Pittsburgh, and then they have the Chiefs at home. There's a problem there.
Yeah, it surprised me the way they lost to the Raiders because I was thinking their defense was one of their strong suits, but I thought they gave up way too many points to the Raiders.
Yeah, what, 45? Yeah, that's a lot of points to give up. That's the only game they've given up a bunch of points. They've been pretty good defensively.
Yeah, that surprised me. One other thing, Jerry Jones, that's the reason I'm no longer a Cowboys fan. I used to be a Cowboys fan, even when Troy Aikman was a quarterback. But then, I mean, he just made one idiotic move after another as an owner. He was too outspoken. And, you know, I was a big Roger Staubach, Tom Landry fan, but I just cannot be a fan of Jerry Jones' Cowboys.
Well, I got that, but you can't fire the owner, so you got to fire a coach, I guess.
No, you sure can't. All right, guys, have a good one.
Appreciate it. Of course, we get a lot of people on this show that say it's not Jerry's fault and get rid of the quarterback. Make a change at quarterback and everything will be well for the Dallas Cowboys. Not so sure about that one either, but I understand where they're coming from on Dak Prescott. Let's get to the break. We'll come back. Greg McKinney and Lonzo here. The Huddle for Wednesday on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. Lexington School District 2 just canceled classes for tomorrow. So, as we predicted, we're going to get a smattering of school cancellations from kind of all over the state this afternoon for tomorrow because of Hurricane Michael, which has just come ashore around Panama City, Florida, on the panhandle of Florida with 155 mile per hour winds, a high category 4. Watching some of the video coming in from Panama City Beach and other places, we're looking at a liquor store that's been pretty much crushed right now. Was that thing open already? I can't tell if these were already dilapidated buildings.
Here's the thing. You know, they zoomed in a little bit. I don't see inventory laying on the ground or anything like that. And I think this may be something that wasn't open. But look, what is that a power pole?
Pole snapped in half and fell on the roof of that little place there and knocked it in. So anyway, whether the building was occupied or not, it's taken a beating from the storm there. I saw a video of Lester Holt, NBC News anchor. He was in a hotel room at Panama City, and they were looking out the window for a while, and then suddenly they run over and pick up the mattress off the bed and press it up against the window. They weren't taking any chances. We have Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel wearing a Rawlings batting helmet for his reporting today. They're saying he wore a Rawlings helmet during Florence. Today's wearing Under Armour. Maybe he got a better sponsorship deal.
Hey, you got to step it up.
Yeah. So look, here's the problem we have with this thing. The track of the storm, projected track of this storm, has it coming up through South Georgia and into South Carolina, you know, south of us. And who knows how strong it's going to be. But, typically the strength is going to go down significantly after landfall. But it's moving so fast that will it go down that much before it gets up into the state, you know? Is moving slowly, it'd have more of a chance to decrease in top wind speeds. It's moving pretty quickly, though, at this point. Moving north, northeast at 14 miles per hour. And looking at that path they have up on the Weather Channel, it's kind of right through the center of South Carolina where they expect it to come. So, you know, we're not in the direct path here in upstate South Carolina. That's the good news. But we are expected to get quite a bit of rain, and that could affect our outdoor activity certainly going forward, and we already have Lawrence districts, both of them, 55 and 56, canceling classes for tomorrow because of projected wind speeds and concerned about buses. And that's something I think is going to be spreading throughout the day today and then into tomorrow, concerns about winds canceling schools in South Carolina. Got a text asking about Jake Bentley, asking, do you think Jake Bentley will be better with a knee brace on because he can't dance, so his feet will be set? That's one way to look at it, I guess.
That's a glass half full way to look. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, he certainly will be less likely to run the ball, and he will have to stay in the pocket a little bit more. But I don't know that decreased mobility is ever an edge. I don't know that I would ever call that an advantage. And if his mobility is not good enough, they won't play him. I mean, Muschamp has said that. He said that's why he didn't play him last week. He was clear to go, but his mobility made it risky for him to stay back there and take hits. Now, you know, do you think Texas A&M is less dangerous than Missouri as far as that's concerned? I don't know about that. Again, we have no final decision. It's going to be more of a game-time decision, or at least go towards Saturday before they decide on who goes for the Gamecocks at quarterback. I mean, I'm glad he's wearing the brace, but I don't know if it's an advantage in any way for Jake Bentley to be in a knee brace coming up on Saturday. Some more news out of Florida State, an offer for Deion Sanders, his son, rather, not Deion. Shiloh Sanders. Shiloh Sanders, son of Deion Sanders, gets an offer from Florida State. He's getting a lot of offers. He's a good player. He is a class of 29 cornerback out of Trinity Christian School, Cedar Hill, Texas. He's the number 290 prospect in the class right now. And he could very well end up. I would think that Florida State would have a nice edge on getting Shiloh Sanders. In fact, he said, "It's a blessing to have the same opportunity my father had and potentially to have the opportunity to carry on his legacy." Of course, Deion was an All-American at cornerback for Florida State in the late 80s. He won the Jim Thorpe Award in 1988 and went on to a Hall of Fame career in the NFL. Normally, the recruit is the first to find out about an offer and relay the message to his parents. But because of Deion's connection to Florida State, it was the other way around. Because he's an all-time great at Florida State, he found out first and told Shiloh. Shiloh said that he was talking to a coach, got off the phone, and he told me I had the offer. He's 6 feet tall, 178 pounds. Shiloh has similar size to his father coming out of high school, and he already has offers from a lot of schools, including the South Carolina Gamecocks. What are the chances that Shiloh Sanders goes to South Carolina instead of Florida State?
Yeah, he's going to Florida State, but still, it would be kind of cool if he did come to South Carolina.
He also has offers from Georgia, Texas A&M, Nebraska, and Oregon, among other schools. You know, maybe he doesn't want to follow in the shadow of Deion at Florida State. That's a thought, right? Maybe he would rather forge his own path and not be forever known as... He's going to be known as Deion somewhere, wherever he goes, but at Florida State, that's going to be pretty bad. He's going to be under that shadow in a big way. In fact, Sanders said, "If I choose to take that route, following my dad's footsteps, then that's excellent, but I'm definitely interested in doing my own thing. Both could be gratifying. No matter where I go, I'm going to have the same target on my back, so it's just finding what's best for me." Okay. So we'll see where Shiloh Sanders goes, but he has added a Florida State offer to his list of offers, at least so far, and he's probably going to get more. I don't think there's much doubt about that. There was talk about a five-star visitor to the Gamecocks this weekend for the game with Texas A&M. It's not official yet, but there are reports that five-star running back linebacker Quavarius Crouch out of Charlotte may be at the South Carolina-Texas A&M game this weekend. He's from Harding University School in Charlotte, North Carolina. He, in fact, Gaffney played those guys. I don't know how Crouch did in that ball game particularly, but he plays running back and linebacker in school, and he may be at the Gamecock game this weekend. They don't get a whole lot of five-star visitors in Columbia, so that could be a big deal for the Gamecocks. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line, 71307. Final break of the hour. Back in a moment in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Got another school cancellation in Upstate South Carolina. Union County joins the list. No school tomorrow. Earlier, Lawrence County, School Districts 55 and 56, announced they would not have school tomorrow. They said basically any winds in excess of 30 miles per hour would make it too hazardous for buses to be on the road. So you notice the trend there, the upstate counties that have canceled. And Newberry, by the way, is also canceled for tomorrow. They're a little bit south of the Greenville-Spartanburg area, which is more toward the track of the storm, which is expected to go through the Columbia area tomorrow. So we'll see if anything school-wise gets canceled right here in the immediate Greenville-Spartanburg area yet. So far, no, but we've started to see them come in. Lexington County canceled in the Midlands, Horry County, and I think three counties around Charleston canceled earlier today. So it's kind of a smattering scattered around the state so far as people take a look at this storm track and say, I don't think we want any of that with our buses tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a very wet day across the upstate. That seems pretty clear. And this thing's moving pretty quickly, still moving north, northeast at 14 miles per hour. Just made landfall a little while ago, just to the east of Panama City, Florida. And so now it's moving inland. Right now it's 30 miles east, northeast of Panama City. And the track continues to carry it through South Georgia and through the Midlands of South Carolina, then on up into North Carolina. How much strength will be left? Right now, wind speed's still at 150, so it's only going down 5 miles per hour. So it's still a Category 4 hurricane, and it's inland. And I look like most of the rain on these maps I've looked at, Lonzo, have the heaviest, reddest, and most yellow rainfall sort of toward the west side of the storm as opposed to the east side. Sometimes that northeast side is typically the most powerful, but it's not quite the case right now. But it's all pretty bad. There is a lot of rain coming down and going to be a lot more rain. And Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel almost got speared by a 2x4 a little earlier today.
Yeah, again, as we said earlier, once he puts on the batting helmet, you know it's getting serious. And the concern around here is not only the wind, but oversaturation causing trees to fall. I mean, a lot of that stuff is what we have to look forward to, unfortunately. But if it continues moving as fast as it's going, it'll be here and be gone fairly fast.
Yeah, should be in and out pretty quickly, but really dangerous while it's here. So it's something you should be aware of. Tomorrow we'll probably get more cancellations. I think that's almost certain. And a very strong chance of heavy rain across the upstate tomorrow. Florida State University has closed its campuses, canceled classes, both in Tallahassee and in Panama City. Fortunately for the Florida State Seminoles football team, they're off this week, so they did not have to cancel a game, and that's helping them. Of course, Clemson's off this week. Georgia is playing at LSU, so they won't be in the path of the storm as far as any kind of football game. Georgia Tech is supposed to play at home on Saturday against Duke at Bobby Dodd Stadium, and you know, they're at this point still on for that, thinking that the storm will stay to the east of Atlanta and be gone before we get to Saturday. And that may well be the case, and they'll be able to do that one. As far as, you know, up in North Carolina, I guess the schools that have home games on Saturday are just kind of playing wait and see, and let's see how much punch is left in this storm by the time it moves through Georgia and South Carolina and gets to North Carolina. Of course, South Carolina has the home game in Columbia against Texas A&M on Saturday, and as of this point, that's still on. Still thinking that the storm will have come and gone by the time they have to deal with it on Saturday. I know they've had flooding issues and damage issues to that stadium before at Williams-Brice, but they're hoping for the best this year and hope to be able to get that game in because the Gamecocks have already had one game canceled, and they certainly don't want another one to have to be canceled, and at this point, that's not the case. Texas A&M game is still on. What they did at Florida State was interesting. The coaches went ahead and got out of town a day early. They were supposed to leave today on a recruiting trip. They left yesterday so that they could beat the storm and get on out. And with Florida State not playing this week, next game is against Wake Forest on October 20th at home. Most of the students, they had a practice yesterday, and then most of the students left town. There are some students, a couple of guys, according to Willie Taggart, that had family. They're local guys. They will stay with their families in the Tallahassee area. But everyone else left and planned to come back for practice on Saturday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.